We're doing Jewish history. We're up to the year 3300. And we're in the period between the destruction of the first temple and the rebuilding of the second temple. The period when we're in exile, when the story of Purim is going to take place. And we had learned about Yirmiyahu, his son Ben Sirah. We learned on Thursday night about the bathtub, right? And Plato that comes out and learns from Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah the prophet. He quotes over here that there was a commentary on the Kuzari written by Rabbi Netanel ibn Kaspi, where he quotes that Plato said, "I was with Yirmiyahu in Egypt." Different than the Medrash we discussed last week, that he visited Yirmiyahu in Israel next to the temple. Rather, he went to him in Egypt, and Plato writes, "Initially, I mocked his words, and afterwards I saw that he is very wise and he is actually a prophet of God." He writes over there that he had a different name and they called him Paltoni, and he was a student of Pythagoras and he was very good looking. And
Plato?
Yeah. And he was taller than everyone else, and he came from the royal family from his father's side. And he was a descendant of Pilon, Philo, the philosopher, from his mother's side. And that they would say about him that when he was a baby in the crib, so a hive of bees came and rested around his mouth, and then they flew away and they didn't sting him at all. And so the soothsayers of the day said that's a sign that he's still going to be a very smart man. Okay, so that's our different midrashim about the meetings between Plato and Yirmiyahu. So Yirmiyahu tells the people, don't leave, and they're not listening to him. Yirmiyahu has gone to bring back people from the 10 tribes. That's why we have a period where Huldah, his relative, Huldah the prophetess, is the prophet of Am Yisrael, because Yirmiyahu was gone. He went to bring back as many people as he could from the 10 tribes. That's in the year 3302. The next year is the 18th year of Yoshio. So we're still pre-destruction. We did the whole span of Yirmiyahu's life, so we went past the destruction. Now we're going back to where we started off, which is in the reign of Yoshio, where we first met up with Yirmiyahu, and we're continuing in Jewish history, meaning because we spoke about Yirmiyahu, so we spanned the whole lifetime of Yirmiyahu. Now we're going back to where we were up to, the year 3303. Yoshio's been king 18 years, and he invites the Kohanim to do a massive refurbishing of the Beit HaMikdash, as is recorded in the Tanakh, in Melachim, in Kings, and in Divrei Hayamim, in Chronicles. And that's the time when Huldah gives her prophecy. It says that the prophecy was divided into three places. Yirmiyahu used to give his prophecy out in the markets, where everyone was hustling and bustling. Tzfanya was giving his prophecy in shul, and Hilda was giving it in the women's section. And this is what we discussed last week. What kind of women's section did they have? And Chazal say that even though Huldah shouldn't have given prophecy when Yirmiyahu was around, because he was much bigger than her, the Gemara says in Megillah that because she was his relative, he told her, "You also give your prophecy."
Is that why there was a problem when the 70 elders stood in prophesizing with when Moshe was around, and people went to go tell Moshe other people are prophesizing? And then Moshe.
That's one understanding. We learned the Drasha Saran, the first Drasha of the Ran, which discusses a different understanding. Half a lifetime ago, and you're. 11 years ago, but you could look it up. How old are you? 21, okay, so a decade ago we learned that Rosh Hashanah. Now I feel old. Okay. So yeah, the first Rosh of the Ran, you don't have to feel bad you missed it. Okay, this year was the first year of the Jubilee of the Yovel. This happens to be a big discussion among historians, because Josephus doesn't discuss the Jubilee which leads to a big question of how they calculated the Yovel. Chazal say that the temple was destroyed the year after the Yovel, the second temple. There's a machloket Tanaim, how we count the years for Yovel. And going back to here, so we're going with the understanding this was the first year of the Yovel, and that's when Chilkiyo, the Kohen, comes to Yoshiyahu and says, I found this Torah scroll, right? And Yoshiyahu gets all excited and he says, we have to do tshuva. Yeah, you guys know the story? You know what I'm talking about? No. Okay. So Chilkiyo comes to Yoshio and he says, as we were fixing up the temple, we found this Torah scroll, and he looks in the Torah scroll, and the Torah scroll is open to our parsha, to the Tochacha, to the rebuke, where Hashem warns of the destruction that would come if the Jews did not keep the Torah. And when Yoshio reads it, he says, oh no, we haven't been doing all this, we haven't been living up to our end of the Torah. And then he starts a massive tshuva campaign, that everyone should do tshuva. And this story happens when Chilkiyo, and here there are two understandings among the commentaries. Some say this was a miracle, that he found the Torah scroll open to that. And others say, no, he did it. He set it up so that when Yoshio would open it up, he would be rattled, and it worked. We move forward. 12, 13 years have passed. Yoshiyahu passes away, and his son Yehoahaz takes the throne. He is going to be king for all of 3 months. There was an argument who should be the king, him or his big brother Yoyakim. And that's why the prophet anointed him, because wherever there's a discrepancy, there's an argument over who should be king, so then we anoint the king to make it clear he's the king. So Yoachaz takes the throne, and Pharaoh, who had just killed his father, Yoshiyahu. Did we go through the story of Yoshiyahu? Okay. Paro Necho. We never went through this whole story of Yoshiyahu?
Oh, we did.
We did. We did the story, right? Now, he was sure that the people had done a complete tshuva, so when Paro wanted to cross through his land, he went with the army. He didn't heed Yirmiyahu's warning, and then Paro said to him, we're friends. What are you doing this for? Why are you getting in my way? And Yoshiyahu said, the Torah says no sword will pass through Israel when we keep the Torah. We're keeping the Torah. You're not coming through. And Paro said, I don't want to fight you. We're friends, and I have a different battle to fight today. There's no reason for this. And Yoshiyahu stood his ground, and Paro's archmen put 300 arrows through Yoshiyahu's body. And as Yoshiyahu was dying, he said, Hashem, Tzadak, Hashem is the righteous one. Tzadiku Hashem, kifi umariti. Because I rebelled against what he said. I didn't heed Yirmiyahu's warnings.
Yirmiyahu thought he was saying something wrong.
I'm not aware of that. Don't remember that? No. So his son Yoachaz is captured. When Paro comes back from his battle, he makes a visit in Israel, takes the king, Yoachaz, takes him back to Egypt, and Yoachaz will die in Egypt. We move on. So his brother Yoyakim takes the throne. Paro is the one who appoints him. Now, Paro is running the show in Israel. Paro has taken control. And he appoints the young Yoyakim, whose real name is Eliakim, and he changes his name, which is a way of showing control. That was the way you always showed you controlled the servant. You changed his name, as we find in the beginning of which book? Daniel, right? Daniel changes the name. Nebuchadnezzar changes Daniel's name, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. And so Yoyakim becomes king at 25 years old. He's going to be king for 11 years. And we're going to discuss more about this, Bezrat Hashem, next time, tomorrow night.